Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, wrestling fans, welcome to episode 215 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. This is the Cinti Awards. Happy New Year 2018, just about over. And full disclosure, I'm going to pop open another one. Chad is joining me once again, Chad Smart from Positive Cynicism. If you listen to the most recent episode, Wrestling Under the Influence, Chad and I had some beer and talked about Dark Horse 4 Elf Winter Warmer Ale. You can go back and listen to that. We tie in some Christmas memories involved with wrestling. But full disclosure, we are recording these back-to-back, and I got my buzz on, so I figured I'd keep going. And now drinking Revolution Brewing's Fistmas Holiday Ale. And Chad, you said you were glad we didn't review Fistmas on the Wrestling Under the Influence episode.
Yeah, I think it could have gone in a very dark, dark discussion, but it also would have given us a chance at least to mention the revival.
Yeah.
You know, no flips, just Fistmas. I'm sure it's their beer of choice this holiday season.
That's right. Well,
I'll have to tweet them a screenshot of the beer and see if they approve.
We'll do that. We will definitely do that before it's all said and done. But we are winding down again 2018. And before we get into the discussion, we're going to kind of take a more non-traditional approach to the Cinti Awards as we've done in years past. And I'll explain more on that in just a couple of minutes. But I also wanted to talk about Chad's podcast, Positive Cynicism, which is also available here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Chad, you've been doing a lot of nostalgia episodes for the holiday season, for the month of December in particular.
Yes, we started off talking nostalgia at the beginning of the month. I don't remember that discussion because the 4 Elf Winter Warm Ale has kicked in. And then I know after that, I was joined by Eric Bennett. We discussed non-traditional holiday films. And then I had you on to discuss wrestling, nostalgia, and fandom. And then the latest Positive Cynicism, which drops the day after this one drops, actually comes out on New Year's Day because I don't know how to look at a calendar to accurately get my episodes out. But that one will look at music because it's a Wonder Why episode that instead, due to the holiday seasons and traveling, my co-host Mike DeKalb and I didn't have the time to research the album as we had intended. So we just did a nostalgia episode looking back kind of at our memories of MTV and growing up in the MTV generation and why we think it is sorely missed in today's.
That'll be a good one. And also want to throw out there, Greg Mahochko filled in on an episode of Positive Cynicism recently. Not so much a nostalgia one, but he interviewed Rob Kugler. I think I'm saying his name right. Rob is the voice of many of the opens here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. So give that episode a listen as well as you are checking out all the shows, including Five Heart Podcast, Nerds United, and then, as Chad mentioned, the Positive Cynicism Podcast, all available here. Rate and review as well. And if you have an opportunity, if you're looking for maybe a post-Christmas gift for yourself, you got a little cash over the holiday season, you can check out jitterymonkey.com. Slash shop, and that will take you to the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network store, where there are hoodies and t-shirts and coffee mugs and all kinds of great tchotchkes, if you will, that will go along with your favorite podcast, your favorite shows here. There are a few more selections over on the My 1-2-3 Cents Pro Wrestling Tee store, including a Stride Pro Wrestling shirt. And I am going to plug Stride real quick here. January 5th, this Saturday night, Stride returns to the Stride Pro Wrestling Arena. And it is in Carterville, Illinois, 1130 North Division Street. You'll want to check out that show, the first show of the new year. Heath Hatton defends against Tony Flood. We're also going to see the legacy champion, Cash Borden, in action. He'll be teaming up with Wraith, and they'll be taking on Riser and Jay Spade. The tag team titles on the line is the DR Party. Mr. Anthony, who is a friend of the show, and Dexter Roswell will be teaming up against Farmer Billy Hills and Scott Phoenix, who are the tag team champions. And we're going to see a grudge match, Axe Allwart versus the King, Chris Hargis. Hargis, by the way, also going to be coronated that night. I'm hoping it's kind of a King Haku kind of coronation night on January 5th, Chad. You remember King Haku?
I do remember King Haku. I'm trying to think of his coronation. I believe, do they have all the heels in the ring?
Yes, all the heels were in the ring, and Bobby Heenan. That was kind of, since, you know, positive cynicism has been nostalgia, we'll be a little nostalgic here and talk about that. Just kind of randomly popped into my head. But yeah, I always thought that the transition from King Harley Race to King Haku was an odd one, because they wrestled at the 89 Royal Rumble, and Bobby Heenan was managing both of those guys still. And I can't remember the story that they were telling there, but Harley Race didn't stick around much longer after that. I believe that was right after he had come back after doing that table spot with Hulk Hogan on Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, I remember, I want to say that Heenan was like running from corner to corner trying to manage both guys at the time. But I'll throw it out to you. Who was your favorite king?
Ooh, good question. You know, I think the one that kind of took it the furthest and was at the top of the heap, so to speak, is the Macho King Randy Savage. I loved the Queen Sherry gimmick, and they took it all the way, having the escorts, you know, with the guys carrying them out on the platform. I don't know what they call that. The crown that Savage wore was cool. It wasn't your traditional king crown. And then, of course, he played a huge role in the title change with Ultimate Warrior and Sergeant Slaughter using that scepter at the 1991 Royal Rumble. Who was your favorite king?
Well, I agree. I mean, Macho Man is obviously a good choice. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you have to go with King Bucca.
Oh, yeah.
And Queen Charmel.
Yeah, they were a good duo, too.
But I think right now it's got to be King Maxwell. King Maxwell.
Okay.
Matt Hardy's son.
Oh, yes, of course.
You know, King Maxwell at the House Hardy.
Well, I have a feeling that really bad Matt Hardy that is a bad Matt Hardy impersonation. I'll be curious to see how King Hargis reigns over Stride Pro Wrestling, of course. He's had a recent attitude change and is with Jay Wellington Beauregard, so not a whole lot of regard for the fans. By the way, King Hargis is going to be an upcoming guest here on the My 123 Cents podcast as well in the new year. So be sure to tune in for that as well. We'll get more on the history of the King and what he's all about as he is taking over of sorts in Stride Pro Wrestling.
And to tangent real quick on a buzz.
Go
tangent,
right ahead.
Who's better, Eddie Kingston or Kofi Kingston?
Ooh. You know, I'm mainstream, obviously, so I like Eddie Kingston a lot. But Kofi Kingston, I think Kofi Kingston is one of those guys who has truly become almost an unsung hero of WWE. It's hard to believe he's been there more than a decade, and he's had a lot of success. We were looking at those numbers earlier, and by the time this episode drops, I guess he's not a tag team champion right now, so 950 days, I believe it was, that he has held been a co-holder of the tag team titles. I really feel like in, what was it, maybe 2010, 2011, when he was feuding with Randy Orton, and my numbers may be off, but I really felt like that was going to be his opportunity to shine, and for whatever reason, it did not become that way. So I was disappointed. But, you know, Eddie Kingston, and you can obviously talk more about him, is a great great part of the business as well.
Yeah, no, I think Eddie is definitely one of the most underrated wrestlers of the last decade. I'm glad to see him finally somewhat getting a chance in Impact. Right now he's more managing than actual wrestling, but I hope I'm just waiting for him to come out during an Eli
Drake?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to say Eli Young, and that's a country singer. I'd like to see Eddie Kingston come out during an Eli Young show and bash him around too, but Eli Drake has started using Eddie's old catchphrase of last of a dying breed.
Mm.
And I would like to see Eddie just come out and smack the taste out of Eli Drake's mouth for stealing that line, even though I am a big Eli Drake fan as well. And I think Impact has done well in creating him as a future star.
Well, since you brought up Impact, let's plug them as well. Impact's homecoming show coming up this Sunday, January 6th, if you are listening as the show drops. That's happening in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'll put out one last plea. I have been, Chad, you and I met out in Las Vegas in November, and we talked about it then. I did a tryout with Impact Wrestling. Obviously, it didn't go the way I hoped it would, or I wouldn't still be here talking about it. But Nashville is only 3 hours away from here in Southern Illinois. I'd be happy to head down that way and work with Impact. And, I never and we'll talk more about this as we talk more about the Sinties, but never stop shooting for those stars, stop dreaming. I am probably way too old to be chasing this dream, but it's something that I'm going to continue to pursue. And, hopefully fans get out and start supporting Impact Wrestling more. I know they're transitioning to another network, which is something that they've kind of bounced around. And I think that's kind of hurt them as well as far as being able to find a permanent home.
I think finding a permanent home and even just finding a network that is, I would say, one, has a decent viewership, and two, that gets behind them and gives them the synergy that, what WWE has with NBC Universal and USA. They're moving to the Pursuit Network, which I don't know how many people. I don't think it's a large viewership, but it also seems to be kind of just a temporary measure, and it's not an exclusive deal. So if they find a better deal, they can.
Do you think, though, with the landscape of technology, and you kind of are in the biz of entertainment. I, of course, am in the news business as of this recording. Kidding. I'm hoping that I am beyond this.
And
but
I'm in the,
we are going through some transitions too. But do you feel like so many people are, quote unquote, and I'm one of them, cutting the cord, cutting cable, or getting rid of satellite, and turning to streaming? And we know that so many indie companies now are on Twitch, which Stride, by the way, is streaming on Twitch on show nights. We're seeing more of these companies that are maybe I don't want to use the word cheaper alternative, but it is. And it maybe gets, obviously you're not going to get the crossover or the spread that you're going to get being on USA Network, for example, WWE. Do you see, though, one day in the future where wrestling companies aren't vying for this cable and satellite time and are trying to go a more non-traditional route when it comes to streaming out?
I mean, I think yes, just because I think that's the way that everything's going to go eventually.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, no, because I think as long as there is broadcast television, that's
still going to be a coveted spot.
But yeah, you're still going to want to try to get, because I think that's getting the most viewers at one time. Whereas with streaming, especially in wrestling, when you're trying to tell a weekly story, it may be harder. I shouldn't say I'm surprised, but I would be curious if some wrestling promotion, be it Impact or Ring of Honor or a new startup per se, if they will ever come to Amazon Prime. I know Amazon just, I think, signed this show Ring Warriors, which is a syndicated show that airs on WGN.
Yeah.
That I've not been able to see. I have not seen it yet. But I know Amazon does, like this season they did the NFL Thursday Night Football game streamed live, doing some NBA games on their Amazon Prime. So I'm curious if Amazon would be interested in doing the weekly wrestling show as well.
Well, in 2018, the Cinti Awards is all about kind of wrapping up the year, and so this fits into that discussion. We have seen an incredible amount of independent wrestling crop up, not only on a local regional level like Stride Pro Wrestling, for example, here in Southern Illinois, or Cape Championship Wrestling across the river. But we're seeing, like you mentioned, this Ring Warrior show on WGN. There's Lucha Underground, of course. There's Impact, Chikara. Pro Wrestling Hollywood, is that what it is?
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Which isn't anywhere near Hollywood.
There's so many companies out there now. Yeah. I feel
MLW,
like
MLW, Ring of Honor.
Yeah. is it fair to say that 2018, especially with All In, and we'll talk more about that too as we get more into the discussion, but is it fair to say 2018 has kind of been the year of the, you know, WWE, I guess, is the lone horse here, the non-WWE sanctioned events?
I think independent wrestling is getting bigger, and part of it is due to the accessibility that is. You know, you have also, we're talking streaming, there's powerbomb.tv.
Yes.
Which is a streaming service monthly, it's $10 a month, and you get, I don't even know how many promotions are on there. Granted, some of them are older promotions.
You can burp, it's okay.
Shows.
We're all older, cool here.
Older. But then they also do live streaming events.
Okay.
That become, you know, available afterwards. And even Chikara, which has their own streaming service, is now on Powerbomb.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't want to pay the separate fee, you just pay the one $10 a month for Powerbomb, and it's there. And then HighSpots.com, which is a wrestling company that deals with merchandise, and they've released home videos and DVDs, but they have their own streaming service now, which has a couple of promotions in it. And – you know, I don't know if you're going to bring this up, so I'm going to segue into
now.
Is even though we have all these promotions, and I asked you this on the last Ask My 123 Cents, my biggest issue with all these promotions and the accessibility to them is a lot of them are using the same talent.
Sure.
And so even though I may really like, you know, a wrestler, seeing them across four or five different promotions, I don't know if that's causing burnout, because then why do I need to watch? Do I need to watch all five to see the same people? Or especially, it depends on how they're used in the promotion.
Right.
Because you look back at the early days of TNA and Ring of Honor when they were sharing talent. And at one time in Ring of Honor, CM Punk is feuding with Raven, while at the same time in Impact, Raven and CM Punk are in a group together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't like that idea.
Yeah, so if guys aren't being consistent across all brands, you know, it hurts kayfabe, which is already dead anyway.
Sure.
But then if they are being consistent, why do I need to watch them feud across multiple platforms?
That's a very good point. Now, do you think that 2019 and beyond, as we wrap up here, 2018, will we see more of these collaborative efforts where they are talent sharing, or will there become more? Because at one point, TNA or Impact, I guess it was TNA before it became Impact, kind of slapped down where the exclusivity, you know, they were signed to TNA contracts and they weren't letting them do other shows. Do you think that's better for the business where, like you said, we're not going to see Johnny Impact Wrestling across Lucha Underground and all these other promotions where he's just exclusively on Impact? Will that hurt or help the business to kind of tie that up? Because it kind of ties into the question you asked.
I don't think it will happen until these companies can provide a salary that is beneficial to the wrestlers.
So do you think they're paying them on a per appearance basis?
Yes.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then obviously you're going to want to go out and make as much money. And especially like Impact, if you only tape 4 days a month for 4 months, you know, or for a month, whatever, then you have all those extra weekends that you're available to wrestle. So why not make some money? And I know there are some cases where, you know, talent can be used on another show. They just can't be shown. If it's a pay-per-view, they can't be on that. Or if it's a streaming show, they can't be shown on the stream. So it's more for the live audience participation. But yeah, I don't think we'll see a lot of exclusive exactly to just one brand. I think it will maybe exclusive with certain conditions. But yeah, until they can pay what WWE can pay or a comparable rate, I don't see that. And I don't see that happening anytime soon, because none of these brands are, you know, you bring up All In, which sold out a 10,000 seat arena in 30 minutes, but that was because it was the first one. It was the only one. I don't think if All In, and there are rumors, you know, those guys could be starting their own promotion.
Yeah.
If that happens, I don't see them selling out a 10,000 seat arena every month, because a lot of that talent is talent that Ring of Honor has been using and they were lucky to sell 2,000 or 3,000 seats.
Yeah, let's transition into kind of the Cinti Award portion of it, because mine is a tie-in to All In. We always talk about Wrestler of the Year, and I'm actually, for the very first time, I think since we've been doing the Cinti's, kind of breaking out of my traditional. And again, I have been drinking, so this may be influencing my decisions here. But for me, Wrestler of the Year, I'm going with Cody Rhodes. And I'm picking him not because he won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at All In, but just kind of the fact that he did go outside the box. And he did the non-traditional. You know, everybody, we talked about this over lunch before we started recording. You know, everybody kind of, we would imagine as fans that every wrestler's dream is to one day, at least for one time, appear in the WWE, have that WrestleMania moment or have a pay-per-view moment, whatever, be on that main roster. Cody Rhodes has been there, done that, taken that experience, taken that branding, that name recognition, and he's gone on the indie scene and he has torn it up. And yeah, there's a caveat, there's an asterisk to everything, but when you sell out that arena of 10,000 seats in 30 minutes, it's a one-time gig. Could it happen again? We don't know. But the point, the fact, the sticking point right now is it did happen. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes was a part of that and a part of the reason why people did that. Some people call him cocky. Some people say he's too big for his own britches. I feel like he has got the name recognition. He's one of those guys. I feel like now, after a year and a half or so on the indie scene and doing his own thing, he's easy to transition back into the main event picture in WWE. I don't think it will happen, especially with the talk of the Elite coming up with this new Elite wrestling program. But he's one of those guys I feel like could walk in and not have to go through the hoops of NXT. And not that NXT is going through hoops, but you know, you step right into that main event picture where he's challenging AJ Styles or he's challenging Daniel Bryan or even Brock Lesnar for that matter. So I'm picking right now Cody Rhodes as my wrestler slash performer slash marketer, brander, whatever you want to call him, of the year.
Yeah, I can see that. I would be curious for him to go back to WWE just because even though he's got the name brand or the indie cred now, mm-hmm. I don't know, there's still something about him that I don't see fitting into the main event of WWE. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if WWE fans who, you know, we've often had this discussion that there are wrestling fans and there are WWE fans.
Good point.
The WWE fans who may remember him from his time there but hasn't followed him in Ring of Honor and New Japan or don't watch Being the Elite, you know, YouTube series, would they take to him coming back or would they just see him as mid-card, you know, oh, that's Stardust.
We want Stardust, yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. And I'm throwing some of this on you. So yeah. If you don't have answers, I mean, it's cool. We're doing the Cinti's. We're being a heck of a lot more laid back with it and kind of our approach about doing it. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have someone or if no one immediately pops into your mind, that's fine. We can bounce back and mm-hmm. we're just having a little fun with this episode as we again wrap up 2018 and do so with, you know, having some fun.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go Wrestler of the Year. I'll compliment your Cody Rhodes with the Young Bucks.
Okay.
And I just think that again, I think they are as integral to the success of All In and creating the indie scene because they were there before Cody jumped. Mm-hmm. And you know, these are two guys who I've been fans of for the last 10-11 years that have shown you don't need WWE to be successful. Mm-hmm. And they've somehow figured out how to market themselves. You know, they were the first non-WWE licensed Funko Pop figures.
Wow.
They've got their shirts in Hot Topic, which I don't know if that's because of New Japan or if it's because of the Bullet Club success, mm-hmm. whatever the case. But Matt and Nick Jackson have, you know, they've taken that indie mentality and figured out how to make it profitable. And I think they are the example that a lot of new indie guys look to try to figure out how to be successful if you don't make it to WWE.
So if they go to WWE, mm-hmm. let's just whatever fantasy book or however you want to call it. I mean, is this a tag team that goes and kind of gets the Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows treatment where everybody's high and thinking, ooh, the club is back, they're going to kick ass? Or does this become a thing where, you know, they make that big WrestleMania, or Raw after WrestleMania debut, but then quickly fade away?
It's a good try. And, I mean, that is all dependent upon the booking. And it's, you know, it could be 50-50 either way. Mm-hmm. Is it WWE brings them in, gives them a push right away, and then brings that push down to see how they react, like they do with a lot of guys? Or do you capitalize on the success? So, I mean, either one is a possibility. It's all dependent on which way the wind's blowing that day in Vince McMahon's ear. I think they would be successful, but I also don't see them being long-term WWE. I think it would be come in for maybe a year or two just to say you were there, get your WrestleMania match, and then go back to the indies mm-hmm. where you have more control over your character.
So, and I always hate using the word most hated, but it is a category that we have, and it's something that Pro Wrestling Illustrated way back when had as well. So what was your least favorite or what is your least favorite aspect of the business or personality, whatever you want to throw in there? Because we've had some interesting choices in the past for 2018.
Yeah, I'm curious because you have this pulled up as we're recording, and I see – your pick last year was injuries, mm-hmm. and one name that you have listed is Marco Stunt,
yeah.
who ironically is out injured right now.
Again. Yeah.
And I don't even remember what his injury was last year because I don't remember hearing about him until about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, I've been following Marco Stunt since he's been a part of Cape Championship Wrestling because it is regional, it's right here. I actually got to meet Marco for the very first time in October, I think, at a Cape Championship Wrestling show. Might have been September, but and Chad's going to roll his eyes as I say this, but what really was cool about it was he knew who I was too, which I thought, God, this is a guy who was at All In. He's kind of been the, and I don't want to use the word flavor of the month, but he's been kind of that guy for a while until he got this leg injury, broke his leg very recently, but he knew who I was here in little Southern Illinois doing this podcast, but it's the suits. He's like, those suits, they pop me every time I see you. So, you know, it was kind of cool to know that he has seen and heard of my 1-2-3 cents. But yeah, I don't remember specifically what the injury was that he had. It was obviously something that was minor because he came back and won the CCW championship belt. So Marco, I don't know that he's listening, but I know some of his fans are certainly listening, and we hope for him to have a speedy recovery and back in the ring and back in action once he is healed completely from this broken leg, which is going to be several months out with the injury and getting back up and back strong again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of a most hated. I'm going to cop out and go with my answer from last year, making him a two-time most hated, and that is Baron Corbin.
That's a good argument.
You know, I'm guessing WWE sees something in him because they made him the general manager of Raw to give him more airtime, but he has not connected with me on a level other than, why are you on my TV? Why are you even... There are so many more talented people that I feel like. But, yeah, Baron Corbin, I don't get it.
Well, and it feels like, too, you know, it's been a lot of start and stop with him. You know, he wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. He wins Money in the Bank. Of course, loses the briefcase, loses the opportunity. Did he cash in or did he lose the briefcase? I don't remember now. I think he cashed in, didn't he?
He cashed in and lost.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I agree. He's one of those guys. I will admit, since cutting the hair and kind of and not having cable and watching every week has helped too, but he doesn't grate on me like he used to. I'm going to go with, because I don't like picking on specific people, I'm going to go with a collective of just snarky, smarmy, think they know more than everyone else wrestling fans. You know, you especially now with social media, you see it much more rampant now. Kind of picking on female wrestlers for the way they look, or wrestlers who can't do things, podcasters, whatever it is. Tom Skull on Skullbuster Wrestlecast, episode 101.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He is the worst, and so is his brother Jason. He thinks he's so damn smart with that championship, that Battle Bowl championship that I'm going to actually beat his ass for. But that's neither here nor there. But Tom goes on a nice little rant on episode 101 about wrestling fans and the snarkiness. And I'm cool with criticism. I've spent 20 plus years in the news business. I get it quite often. But be constructive in it. I mean, just throwing out a blanket statement, whether it's criticizing a wrestling personality or a show or whatever, you know, you hear people complaining all the time now, Raw is the worst it's been and whatever, whatever. Be that as it may, I feel like there's a lot of constructive criticism. What would you do better? How would you make mm-hmm. things better? And there are things that obviously we've kind of fantasy booked and talked about making things better. For example, not having so many quote unquote Hollywood writers in there and going back more to the wrestling basics. But, you know, Vince McMahon is running a business and it's sports entertainment. And sometimes the entertainment is more emphasized, I think, than anything else. So,
yeah. I guess I can jump off that and say most hated would also be anybody who thinks the Attitude Era needs to make a comeback. Because, you know, over on Positive Cynicism, I just did a month of nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I love nostalgia. It's a very powerful tool. But it's also looking at things through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
The Attitude Era, at least in my opinion, while very entertaining at the time, it wasn't – it was a time that was possible because of what was going on all around
right.
at that time. It wasn't just wrestling. It was,
yeah.
you know, music, pop culture, politics, whatever, everything in the world. So – being able to swear on television or having blood in a match is not going to make things better. It's all still dependent upon storytelling and characters.
Well, and let's face it, America – and this is the beer talking. We're pussies now. I mean, I'll just say it. We – today's society mm-hmm. would not put up with the things that were going on in 1998, 1999, yeah. With the DX, with the dick jokes and the sexual harassment and all that. This today's society, and I'm not condoning any of these things, by the way. I'm just saying there's no humor. There's nobody sees a vast majority, I should say, would not find some of the, or at least the vocal minority would not find things like Shawn Michaels and Triple H and the things that they did. Or,
well, I was going to say, what about, you know, if DX came out and did the parody of The Nation Monday night on Raw,
right?
Would that play in today's society?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, and I'm not condoning blackface or any of those things that they did by any means, but, you know, there would be hashtags and, you know, calls to cancel the network and pull Raw off the air and fire Vince McMahon in a matter of seconds. So as it's this same group that wants the Attitude Era back that would be the first to call for a protest when the first thing that pops up and offends them. So we are going to kind of bounce around. We're not doing traditional Cinti awards all up and down the panel, but did you have, were there any shows that stuck out to you? I don't know if you made it to any, you went to a couple WWE pay-per-views this past year. I did not make it to any WWE pay-per-views. Last year we went to Money in the Bank, of course,
yeah.
Since we didn't do our annual WrestleMania trip. For me, I went to a WWE house show, which was a lot of fun. I ended up in the front row, quite by mistake. But my focus this year has been really on shows with Stride Pro Wrestling. And I guess while you think, go ahead.
Go ahead and talk real quick so I can transition into what you were just talking about. Is at the beginning of 2018, I made the trip out to Philadelphia for the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first time attending a Royal Rumble event. I got to see the first women's Royal Rumble. I got to see the debut of Ronda Rousey. I got to, unfortunately, see Shinsuke Nakamura win a Rumble match. But before that, I went to a House of Hardcore show at the ECW Arena. And it was a fun show. saw some guys that I hadn't seen before, and they had a convention as well. So that was interesting. But being in the ECW arena, it was like being in a crowd from 1998 of ECW mutants, as they were called, where they had the Spirit Squad was part of it. Kenny, Mikey, and Nikki, I think. No, Nick was Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I can't remember who the other member was. But they were fighting. One of them took on Hornswoggle and one of them took on Victoria. And the comments from the fans were very much like what you would have heard in 1998. very sexually explicit. And not that it I was offended, but at the same time, I was like, haven't we moved past this? Like, this is such a regression of fandom. And I know we just kind of talked about it on the last episode under the influence here on My 1-2-3 Cents about if you're going to a show, kind of be respectful. And I have no problem with fans being vocal, but it's, yes, when you're just throwing out profanity or sexist material, you know,
right.
I prefer a more creative insult. But yeah, it's the same thing where had that House of Hardcore audience been a Raw audience, people would have been probably complaining about the behavior. But as far as shows, you know, I also saw TakeOver War Games in November, which was a fun show to be in attendance for. I'm trying to think if there's any other show. I don't do PWG shows. There's a new promotion. I don't even know if they're new. They're new to me, called Bar Wrestling, which has shows like every other Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly is part of that. So I want to check one of those shows out eventually. But I'm trying to rack my brain around what were the good shows this year. And I think, you know, generically speaking, I think you'd have to go with All In as being probably the best show just because of what it accomplished.
Did you watch all of All In?
I did.
And you liked it?
It was fun. Obviously, it had timing issues since the main event was cut down to like 10 minutes, 12 minutes. But it was fun. I think we could have done without the Joey Ryan penis rising from the grave. But, you know, that's me.
I had to explain that to somebody the other day because we were talking about Joey Ryan. He's a wrestling fan, but more of a WWE fan that I work with. And he had not heard of Joey Ryan, didn't know about the dick thing and whatnot. So explaining that to him and then the look on his face was priceless. It really was. So do you think there will be or should there be an All In 2? Or was this kind of one of those things where you strike gold, you have that lightning in a bottle one time and trying to replicate or do this again in 2019 or even beyond would hurt anything?
No, I think if they kept this to one show a year, I think it would be like WrestleMania, where WWE can pack 70,000 people into one show, but they couldn't do 70,000 per month.
Right.
And I think All In could definitely do another 10,000-seat arena if they did another show over Labor Day weekend. But if they start up a promotion, they're not going to have that type of – because – the other aspect is when you do a major show, people are willing to travel.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing a show and coming to my area, well, I'm not going to fly all the way across the country to see a show. I'm just going to wait until you come
right
to mine.
So if the Elite, for example, becomes a company, the assumption is they're going to travel and go to do house shows and whatnot. Then, and you think that would hurt an all-in event?
Depending on how it's promoted, I think – yeah, I mean, yes, you can still do your one major show, but what is your draw? What is your attraction to that show?
Because All In attracted not just – it was a hodgepodge of indie guys, right? Because Marco Stunt, as we talked about, was in that Battle Royal.
Yes. I think it had some ROH guys. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Brian Cage was there, so he was in Impact at the time. You had the New Japan. You had some Lucha Libre wrestlers. Yeah, which is the other factor is are you bringing in special guests or is it just going to be guys that are on your roster as well?
Popping another one. and again, and I'm not, I really am not trying to sound self-serving. I have not, you know, and when we say show of the year, obviously Chad picked one that he was not in attendance for with All In. I'm picking one that I was actually a part of. It's part of Stride Pro Wrestling, and I know a lot of people who may be listening to this don't know much about Stride Pro Wrestling. This one was near and dear to me because I was obviously a big part of it, and I still, you know, we are whatever made and now is 7-8 months removed from that event, and that was the Stride Go Steel in the Ville. It was an all-steel cage match show, which I typically am not a fan of those kind of gimmick shows, especially when they're all the matches are inside a steel cage, because traditionally a steel cage match in wrestling is the blow-off to a feud. The way, though, and I'm going to sound like I'm blowing smoke or you know, putting over my own company that I'm a part of, the matches that were booked on that night were all kind of culminations of feuds. That I view that show as almost the season end, even though we're not on any kind of TV or whatnot. But it was kind of the end of an era of a timing, and then transitioning then into our summer and fall months. So I'm still unbelievably amazed by the turnout, the fans, but the fact that Tyler had enough faith and confidence in me to put me in a match, and not only in a match, but in what was the main event of that show against Roger Mathis, and then going through all of that with Roger, and he literally didn't kick the shit out of me, but he kicked me pretty damn hard several times, and there were some spots in there where people thought that I was legitimately, you know, we did the electric chair, and I screwed up and put my arm out, and, you know, people are amazed I didn't break my arm during that spot. But to get in the ring and do this, you know, I've said it before, if I was 20 years younger, I'd be doing this every chance I get. It is something that I love and I enjoy. I enjoyed the ring announcing too, but the overall show for Stride Go Steel in the Ville, the tag team championship match between Heath Hatton and Axe Allward versus the Midwest Monster Hunters, the opening match, Wraith and the Riser and Disciple Number Two against Farmer Billy Hills, Jose Magnifico, and Jerry Travelstead. Jerry jumping off the cage at the very beginning of the show. Cash Borden jumping off the top of the cage and doing a flip onto everybody below him. There were so many moments. There were so many great memories made at that event, and to be a part of that, to me, and again, I know it's self-serving. It sounds, you know, how can I put this above WrestleMania or All In or any? It's that emotional attachment. And I think for wrestling fans, a lot of what resonates with us as fans are the things that trigger those memories or bring back that emotion for us. And for me, you know, this was my second match. I've done it before. There was something about, you know, when we did main event back in 2012, you know, Pac and Generico, who are now, you know, became known as Neville and Sami Zayn in WWE, to commentate and call that match prior to my own match, it's another great memory for me. But, you know, Stride Go Steel in the Ville, my friend Tom scaled the cage, came in, interfered. I mean, it was Schmoz City. Cash Borden uses the cattle prod to incapacitate Roger Mathis, and I escaped the cage. I wish you could have been there and seen that and been a part of that as well, because it was just one of those times. And you've been to a couple Stride, or at least one Stride show, and, you know, there's something different about that little indie crowd. I think even, you know, we talk about indie crowds with Chikara or Ring of Honor, but even more hyper indie you get, I think the crowds get a little bit even more intense.
Yeah, I wish I would have been there as well, but for your sake, it's probably good that I wasn't, because Tom scaled the cage to help you. I would have scaled the cage to help Roger Mathis. That's just the way it is. I mean, you are the Marty Jannetty to my Shawn Michaels.
Man. I was going to say you're the Jason Skull to my Tom Skull, but man,
yeah, I think that's you're hurtful. Just a numbskull. Anyway, maybe we should move on to the next.
We need a Bob Schulte run in here, I think. So who do you think is the star on the horizon? We talk about, you know, last year I picked Matt Riddle, and I'll be honest with you. I'm impressed with this guy. I think he is
bro.
He does a lot of good things. And I'm not necessarily making him my 2018 pick, but you know, I didn't necessarily think that we would see him jump to WWE as quickly or NXT. And I still think, and I think you and I talked about this via text message, he and Brock Lesnar, because of their UFC MMA backgrounds, I still think would be a decent match. I don't know that we'd necessarily get it at WrestleMania, but I think that it would be a good show for sure.
Yeah, I'm still not on the Matt Riddle train. I think it's the bro persona.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just don't – I can't – again, kind of going with Baron Corbin earlier, is just there's something that's not connecting with me.
Mm-hmm.
As far as who I think is the star in the horizon, I don't really know, because my mind is just going blank, because there aren't any we talked about Marco Stunt earlier.
Right.
And I will use the term flavor of the month, because I mean no disrespect to Marco.
Right.
I mean take it and run with it as long as you can.
Yeah.
But there's just something about him, and it's his size that doesn't, you know, I don't buy Rey Mysterio when they put the world title on him.
Okay.
So I can't buy Marco in the same regard.
Okay.
But I think Marco is very energetic.
Yeah.
Not energetic, but athletic.
Sure.
You know, but again, good luck to him, and hopefully, you know, he comes back from the injury with no lingering effects. I'm trying to think of who.
While you continue to think, I'm going to talk more about somebody who has been on the My 123 Cents podcast and has done a lot of work in the independent scene and has recently had a tryout with WWE, and that is Daniel Eads. Whether or not he makes it to the Performance Center and into NXT or to the WWE roster in 2019, I don't know. But I do still firmly believe one day we'll see Daniel Eads on WWE programming. He is the man of tomorrow. He has a great look. He fits into that WWE mold, I think. And I really think that he has the ability. He has the talent. He has had the patience and the perseverance. So I think Daniel Eads is definitely going to go somewhere. Joey O'Reilly is someone else I want to mention. Joey had a match on 205 Live earlier this year. He was in a match against Sami Callihan. And that – wait.
Yeah, Sam Callihan's done 205
no,
Live.
No, who am I thinking of? It's the guy with the umbrella.
Gentleman – not gentleman.
this is where the Wrestling Under the Influence interferes with the Cinti Awards. Jack Gallagher.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Jack Gallagher. I'm sorry. I apologize to Sami Callihan and whomever else. Gentlemen –
I think you should apologize to Gallagher instead.
I apologize to anyone listening right now. But anyway, Joey O'Reilly had that opportunity. And I still think that there is a lot of great talent on the Stride Pro Wrestling roster that will transition and have an opportunity. And I'm not going to name names specifically because all of the guys on the Stride roster are my friends, and I don't want to alienate or whatever. But I do think Daniel Eads has that it factor that will take him to NXT, the Performance Center, and perhaps beyond, and we'll see him in 2019. And he may not be Daniel Eads, quote unquote, but I think we will see him in some form or fashion.
I'm just going to throw a name out because it came to me. I don't know if he's actually going to be the star on the horizon, but we'll give him a little bit of pub because, you know, he probably needs it. That's Brian Pillman Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He seems to be doing well. So,
have you seen much of his work on MLW? I know he's a big part of MLW.
Yeah,
now.
He's part of the New Heart Foundation. I've seen a couple matches. You know, I think he's still developing his mm-hmm. his own persona, but we'll see if he can follow. I mean, it's going to be big shoes to fill.
Sure.
But
well, let's talk a little bit about that part of it too, because I'm assuming I don't watch much of MLW, but you said the New Heart Foundation. I believe Davey Boy Smith Jr. is a part of that. And Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart, yeah.
Do these guys who become, and women for that matter, Natalia, Charlotte Flair come to mind, do these second or third generation wrestlers, are they more hurt or are they helped by the legacy? You know, I know Harry Smith, you know, he was Harry Smith at one point. Now he's going by Davey Boy Smith Jr., Brian Pillman Jr. But then you have guys like Bray Wyatt and Bo Sawyer, not Bo Sawyer, Bo Dallas. Shout out to Bo Sawyer from Stride Pro Wrestling. I've always been afraid ring announcing that I'm going to call Bo Sawyer Bo Jackson, and now I just did the opposite here on the show. But anyway,
Bo Jackson, you're going to just throw in a bunch more Bo's?
Did I say Bo Jackson?
You said Bo Jackson.
It's the damn beer. I apologize. I really do. Bo Dallas. Do those, you know, obviously they are the sons of Mike Rotundo, but you wouldn't know that watching WWE programming. So are they better off separating from the legacy of their parent, or are they better off embracing that and trying to make a name? Because it's been a kind of a double-edged sword. The Rock, obviously, probably the most successful example of that, or I would even argue Randy Orton.
No, I think you have to embrace it, because even in the case of Husky Harris or Bray Wyatt or Bo Dallas, your Smark fans are going to know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, you look at Charlotte Flair, who they tried to take the Flair name off of her and just call her Charlotte, but they still have the association.
Right.
And I guess in that regard, you can also look at David Flair, where it didn't really help him. But I think it's all going to come down to talent. You know, you compare David and Charlotte. One has the talent to be a superstar, and the other is David Flair. And I don't mean to insult David Flair, but he just didn't have, you know, it's kind of like, you know, LeBron James's son is playing basketball. Does he have the talent to be LeBron James?
Right.
And he even says he doesn't want to be called, doesn't want that connection to his dad, but then his name is LeBron James Jr., I believe. So kind of hard to get away from. But no, you embrace it. Even embracing it or not, you have to have the talent to stand on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that talent, it's going to come through. Is the name going to help you? Most definitely. It's going to open up doors or open connections that, you know, someone just trying to break into the business isn't going to have.
Unless you're SD Jones Jr., then you're probably not going to use that name.
Maybe not, because that's just a weird name. It's too many initials. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would say embrace it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, you can be like Brian Christopher, who, when he said he didn't want to be associated with his father, he changed his name to Brian Lawler in TNA, and that made absolutely no sense, which kind of just should just be the title of the TNA history book. But anyway, I'm going back to Star on the Horizon, because another name just came to me as someone who had been in the business a little bit, then got out of it, and now is trying to make another comeback, and has been training, and he's had a few matches that have gone well.
I know where this is going.
It's going to be David Arquette.
Yeah, okay.
Because I just want to work in.
He kind of gives me hope, actually, because he's older than me, yeah. And I feel like, okay, maybe there's something here.
I just bring him up, too, because I want to say, share this little anecdote, that a few years ago, I had a little summer retreat in Malibu that I would go to.
Fancy.
And I remember I was out walking the beach one day, and David Arquette was walking his dog. And I wanted so much to say, "What up, champ? How's it going?" But instead I just said, "Good morning."
Oh, you totally should have. He would have totally eaten that up.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, I didn't want to give the impression that I was starstruck.
Right, right. Sure.
You know, being in Malibu, you have to play it cool.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we just kind of exchanged highs, and he kept walking his direction. I walked mine. But, yeah, no, I'm curious to see what David Arquette does in 2019. Hopefully no more death matches.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm curious if he continues along this way, I can't see WWE picking him up, but will TNA bring him in or Impact bring him in? Will Ring of Honor bring him in?
Did he do anything with Impact before?
No.
Or has he not wrestled since WCW?
I don't think he's wrestled since WCW.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. Yeah, that's a good pick, too. I'm curious to see what is next for him. Now, last year, our female of the year, we both agreed on Alexa Bliss, and I have a feeling we're going to both agree this year. I'll go ahead and say mine. It's Becky Lynch.
I was going to say Santina Marella.
Jesus. To quote Dalton from Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Jesus Christ! No, I pick Becky Lynch for obvious reasons. I think that she, again, not throwing out that flavor of the month, but everybody is talking about Becky Lynch now. And she was talented, obviously, well before. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she kind of got lost in that shuffle and was just kind of another woman on the roster. Kind of mid, you know, women's ranking wise was kind of that mid card. You know, she was being eclipsed by Becky, or I'm sorry, by Alexa Bliss and by Charlotte and Asuka and Nia Jax. But now, probably the last half of 2018, she has torn it up, and her stuff on Twitter is priceless with the jabs that she's throwing out there at Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, I agree with you. I think Becky is, as we discussed on My 1-2-3 Cents, or on Positive Cynicism,
yeah.
Again, if Becky Lynch is not in the main event at WrestleMania, something is terribly wrong,
mm-hmm.
and that should mean that she is probably injured again, because yeah. otherwise she should be there, and the person that she should be going against, this is one that I'll throw out as like a 1B for Female of the Year, and that's Ronda Rousey,
mm-hmm.
who came in to WWE in January, had her first match at WrestleMania, which putting your first match on, you know, the biggest show on the stage, grandest stage of them all, as they say, doesn't always work out. Case in point, Fandango.
Sure.
But Ronda Rousey has – I've seen the comparisons to Kurt Angle, where she's a, you know, a mixed martial artist person who came in and has just taken to WWE like a fish out of water. I think she still looks a little too happy most of the time when she's – walking to the ring,
mm-hmm.
but the wrestling matches themselves have been have exceeded my expectations, far greater than I could have ever imagined. And Becky versus Ronda is probably the only match I could think of that I'm looking forward to with high anticipation in 2019.
Okay. The caveat to all of this, as we talked about before off air, is if, you know, there's a smart choice made here. That's it. As 35-year fans of mm-hmm. this business, specifically WWE, we have seen they don't always go where the fans want to go yeah. or whatever. So realistically, on a scale from 1 to 10, where are you in terms of WWE not screwing this up and we get this as the main event? Exactly. 1 being not going to happen, 10 being, hell yes, this is going to be the main event, or one of the main events at WrestleMania?
I'm at a -5.
Wow.
Because even if they do it at WrestleMania, I don't think they'll do the right thing and not have them interact on a weekly basis leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Like,
they should not – dream scenario or fantasy booking right now would be Becky wins the Rumble.
Okay.
Just giving her more steam to be like, look,
I like it.
And then she calls out – Ronda, but they don't interact until WrestleMania. Like, you know, maybe some verbal jabbing back mm-hmm. and forth, but they should not lay a hand on each other until WrestleMania.
I agree, and I'll throw this out there too, because it reminded me when you talked about the Rumble. You know, women's wrestling has obviously been very popular on the indie scene for years.
Mm-hmm.
WWE is finally taking note, adding the Women's Money in the Bank in 2017. 2018, we saw the Rumble and the Elimination Chamber matches added. We also got the Women's Hell in a Cell. Thank you.
TLC in 2017.
Yeah. So the Charlotte Asuka match from WrestleMania this past year was amazing, and it ended in a way that I did not expect. And so I feel like women's wrestling in WWE, for what it's worth, is finally getting some value and getting some recognition because these women do deserve just as much of the spotlight as the men do. And as we talked about, I would almost put Becky Lynch up there, you know, in the top contendership too of Wrestler of the Year. And I know, and again, I'm basing this on the last probably 3 or 4 months of the year, but she's done something. And in 2019, I wouldn't be surprised if we're wrapping up the year with Becky Lynch singing her accolades throughout the Cinti Awards.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that, you know, WWE realizes what they have. And I've seen the comparison, and we even talked about it on Positive Cynicism. She is, I don't want to say the female equivalent, I'm going to say the modern day equivalent to Stone Cold Steve Austin, where it's somebody who the fans liked. I'm sure WWE was kind of behind, but not, wasn't going to be the main focus. Mm-hmm. But then accidents happen, and it just helped propel that persona mm-hmm. even higher. And even, you know, in the Stone Cold Steve Austin case, Austin 316 happened, but it was still, what, 9 months later before. I'm trying to think of the time frame. Did he win the heavyweight title at the next WrestleMania?
No.
Or was it 2 years later?
It was two. He became King of the Ring in 96, and then it was 1998 when he won the championship.
So you take that time to build it. And so we'll see what happens with Becky Lynch. Is if they do they capitalize right away, or do they keep the slow burn and keep if she can keep the momentum going herself?
And I wonder if or how much at all the Fox deal with SmackDown mm-hmm. will play in the development of some of these characters and some of these storylines as well. That's not happening again until the third or the fourth quarter of
2019.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see. And I'm sure we'll talk much more about that too in the last part of 2019. What do you think is the biggest fall from grace?
Kevin Hunsberger's wrestling knowledge and viewership.
That is true. I am guilty of that for sure.
For me, I think it's – I'm going to say my wrestling – I'll steal and say my wrestling viewership where, you know, I still watch Chikara. I've watched every show this year, but I haven't been invested in it mm-hmm. as I have years past. I have a subscription to Powerbomb.tv, but I don't watch it regularly. It's more like if I'm bored, if there's nothing else on, I'll go on and check something out. Still getting used to their – I wish there was a better way – a better system to see what shows were newer. Mm-hmm. Just keep up with that. But yeah. And I mean, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown a lot right now. But I try to watch all the major shows, all the monthly shows. And I watch NXT every week, but, I don't know if it's life getting in the way or as we've said that the product itself isn't as engaging as it's been in the past. If that's part of it,
I'll do that too. I'll say my personal fandom, obviously with being a part of Stride, and I think I talked about this on the Positive Cynicism show. I've been fully invested in Pardon the Pun, all in with that, you know, throughout 2018, and you know that looks to continue into 2019. Again, cutting the cord with cable and satellite plays a big factor in that. You know, Raw, SmackDown, I DVR'd and I go back and watch every week. I pick up the highlights when I can. I know what's going on. I know the stories that are happening. But yeah, I just have not been. And part of it is life getting in the way. Mm-hmm. And part of it is just it's not as to me anymore. It's not as appointment TV as it used to be, because when you do watch the pay-per-views, which I still do on the network, you kind of get that synopsis and that wrap up. Yeah. And you know why Charlotte's facing Becky Lynch, or you know why this event is happening and who the players involved are. So it's almost as if, you know, Raw ratings are down. But I also wonder sometimes, is that because WWE oftentimes provides the spoilers uh-huh. or they do these shows where they're offering up a recap and you can condense 3 hours of minutia of Raw into a, you know, individual 3-minute packages for each of these storylines that are going on. Is that part of what may be hurting the product? I don't know.
Well, and same thing. It's if you tune into the Raw after a pay-per-view to see what the fallout is,
mm-hmm.
if you don't watch another Raw until the go-home Raw,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to miss anything because nothing happens. And the same people that started feuding on that Raw after show are still going to be feuding on the Raw show before.
And again, as
I talked to with regards to Becky and Ronda, it's do I need to see them fight or interact every week for a month only to watch them wrestle again?
Mm-hmm.
So
very valid point. Anything else, Chad? I'm gonna wrap it up with the All Out of Bubblegum Award. But is there anything else that you want to throw out there from 2018 that stuck with you, good, bad, or indifferent?
I had a thought, and I lost it. It was in regards to cutting the cord and cable and ratings and all that. But I don't know. Now I'm curious to see what happens in 2019 again with the Elite. Mm-hmm. See where they go. See what happens with Impact, because Impact has, I think, turned things around over the last year. And, you know, this is a company that I wish would have been this way since day one. Hopefully they can get a decent TV deal out of it. I'll be curious to see what happens with WWE once Fox, once they make the jump to Fox. And still trying to figure out where WrestleMania 36 is going to be. And, you know, hopefully we can make that trip again in 2020. And,
wow.
Yeah. And just remember, 2020, vote smart. A better vision for America.
A better vision for America. I always wrap the Cinties up with the All Out of Bubblegum Award. It's something that I kind of came up with a couple of years ago to honor, highlight, remember Rowdy Roddy Piper, in part because I feel like WWE, they created the Dusty Rhodes Tournament, the tag team tournament on NXT with Dusty's name, and then there was the Warrior Award, and Dusty and Warrior and Piper all died within about a year and a half of each other, and I felt like Piper kind of got overlooked. So the All Out of Bubblegum Award goes to someone who I know personally, typically, or it has in the last 2 years, who has made an impact, a difference, not only inside the ring, but outside the ring as well. This year, I'm going with Dan Turnquist, who is a friend of mine from Stride Pro Wrestling. I'm not going to go into the details about Dan to save storylines and whatnot, but Dan honestly is one of the hardest working behind the scenes guys that you'll ever meet. He has a passion and a love for not only wrestling, but for Stride Pro Wrestling specifically. And, you know, he gives it his all with the training of others, you know, at the Stride School. And then just the time, the effort, the money, the energy that he puts into other projects to help promote or make Stride better and kind of put us on the map as a company here in Southern Illinois and beyond. So Dan Turnquist, the All Out of Bubblegum Award winner for 2018. I appreciate all the efforts that he puts out there and really am thankful to have him. You know, Heath Hatton was a previous winner. Jerry Travelstead, a previous winner. Now, Dan Turnquist, thank you all who support indie wrestling in general, but also who support Stride Pro Wrestling and who support My 1-2-3 Cents and, of course, the Positive Cynicism podcast and everything else here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Chad, any New Year's wishes for our listeners as we wrap up this episode of My 1-2-3 Cents?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone who listens to all the shows across the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network spectrum. You know, our good friends, the Skull Busters, Tom Skull, Jason Skull. I would throw in Tom and Jim, co-host Jim Dow. But, you know, I really haven't spoken with him or interacted with him. And he doesn't like the 80s. So that's a big no-go. But, yeah, everybody that listens, everyone that has shared the show, supported the show. If you want to go buy some merchandise and really support us, that would be great. But. Yeah, just to have a, you know, hopefully have a good 2019. And as I always say on Positive Cynicism, do something positive.
It's a great way to end this podcast. Everyone, thanks so much. Happy New Year. We'll see you again in 2019.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.